Every access decision you will ever make in Azure. Group memberships, licenses, role assignments, password policies, hangs off one small thing, a user object. Create it wrong, and everything downstream wobbles. Welcome back. Last time we drew the map, two planes of administration, and the four-level scope ladder. Today we step fully onto the identity plane, and work with users in Microsoft Entra ID, the types of users, how to create and invite them, which admin role you need for each task, and what happens when you delete someone. Start with the user type matrix, because the exam loves it and real life demands it. A Microsoft Entra workforce tenant distinguishes users along two independent axes. Axis 1. Where does the identity authenticate? Inside your tenant or somewhere external? Axis 2. What privilege level does it hold? Member or guest? Two axes, four quadrants. Quadrant 1, the internal member, most likely a full-time employee. Their credentials live in your tenant, your administrators manage them, and the user can reset their own password. Quadrant 2, the internal guest, an account that exists in your tenant, but carries guest-level privileges. These often date from before business-to-business collaboration existed. You still manage their credentials. Quadrant 3, the external member, someone who authenticates to their own home Microsoft Entra tenant, but has member-level access in yours. Your tenant accepts them through federated sign-in. This pattern is common in multi-tenant organizations. Think of a group of companies sharing people. If they forget their password, their home administrator resets it, not you. Quadrant 4, the external guest, the true visitor. They authenticate externally, hold guest privileges, and they set up their own password, using the link they receive in the invitation email. Here is a memory aid. Ask two questions. Whose door? Do they sign in at your door or their own? And which badge? A staff badge or a visitor badge? Internal member, your door, staff badge, external guest, their door, visitor badge. The practical consequence of the matrix is about who manages credentials. For internal users you do, for external users you never touch their password or their lifecycle. That distinction will carry all the way into episode 5 on B2B collaboration. One aside for completeness, there is a second flavor of tenant called an external tenant, used exclusively for customer-facing scenarios under Microsoft Entra External ID. It has its own user types and its own creation flow, where people sign in with an email instead of a user principal name. Know it exists. The exam focus stays on workforce tenants. Now let's create a user. You sign in to the Microsoft Entra Admin Center, that is entra.microsoft.com, as at least a user administrator. You browse to Entra ID, then Users, then New User, then Create New User. The wizard has four tabs: Basics, Properties, Assignments, and Review plus Create. On the Basics tab, you set the core, the user principal name, or UPN, a unique username, plus a domain you pick after the @. There is a domain not listed option if you need a new one. The mail nickname derives from the UPN, unless you uncheck that. A display name, like Chris Green. A password, auto-generated by default, or unchecked to set your own initial one. And a checkbox called Account Enabled, checked by default. Uncheck it if you want to prevent sign-in until you are ready. In the legacy flow, this was called Block Sign-in. On the Properties tab, you can fill 5 categories. Identity, including first and last name, and the user type, member or guest. Job information, title, department, manager. Contact information, parental controls, and settings, which includes the user's global location. On an existing user, a 6th category appears, called on-premises, for accounts synced from Windows Server Active Directory. Quick note on parental controls. They define age groups, minors not adult, and adults, used by school districts, and the boundaries in Microsoft's documentation overlap a little at age 18. Read adults as 18 and over. Not exam critical, just know it exists. On the Assignments tab, you can attach the new user to up to 20 groups or roles, and to exactly one administrative unit. Hold on to this idea. Those are limits of the portal creation flow, not of the platform. You can add more assignments after creation. The exam sometimes dangles flow limits as if they were platform limits. Do not take the bait. Then review plus create, and done. Inviting an external guest uses a sibling entry, new user, then invite external user. you provide the guest's email address, a display name, and an optional invitation message. The guest's invitation state, for example, pending acceptance, is tracked on the user's details, and while it is pending, you can resend the invitation. One restriction: external users cannot be assigned to administrative units. The full invitation and redemption story is episode 5. Now, who is allowed to do what? The principle is always least privilege. The smallest role that can do the job. To create a user, user administrator. To invite an external guest, guest inviter. A much smaller role, perfect for a help desk operator whose only job is invitations. To assign Microsoft Entra roles, privileged role administrator. Deletion deserves its own attention. A user administrator can delete any non-admin user, can delete help desk administrators, and can delete other user administrators. But for admins holding other roles, that is not enough. Only the privileged authentication administrator can delete any user, including other administrators. Picture the offboarding scenario: your colleague holds the help desk administrator role and is leaving. Can an operator with just user administrator delete the account? Yes. If the leaver were a privileged role administrator instead? No, that requires privileged authentication administrator. Let's talk about the profile itself. The user profile is the digital representation of a person's identity, and it surfaces everywhere. Outlook, Teams, Windows. So it should reflect how the user wants to be represented. To edit a profile, open the user and either click Edit Properties at the top, which opens everything in edit mode, or use the Properties tab and edit one category at a time with the pencil icon. Either way, save at the end. On names, the guidance is simple and humane. First and last name should be what the user expects to see, their preferred name, which might not be their legal name. The legal name belongs in your human resources system. Use the display name field to implement your organization's display convention. For example, family name first, and never use the display name as an alternative name, because applications show either first and last name or the display name, and inconsistency breeds confusion. There is also a profile picture, the camera icon on the user's thumbnail, and it appears across Microsoft Entra and the user's personal pages. Two scale features. First, bulk editing. From the All Users page, you can select up to 60 users at a time, another flow limit, and update a fixed set of attributes at once: city, company name, country, department, job title, office location, usage location, and a few more. Remember usage location. It becomes very important when we do licensing in episode 4. Second, tenant-wide settings. Under Users, then User Settings, a global administrator can control whether users may register applications, whether non-admins can access the administration portal, whether users can connect LinkedIn accounts, and, important, the guest user access restrictions, which come in 3 levels. Guests have the same access as members, which is the most inclusive. Guests have limited access to directory objects. All guests are restricted to their own directory objects, the most restrictive. One hybrid caveat before we get to deletion. If a user is synced from Windows Server Active Directory, that is, their source of authority is on-premises, you must edit their identity, contact, and job information on-premises, and then wait for the next synchronization cycle before the change appears in the cloud. A few attributes or exceptions you can edit directly in the cloud, notably usage location. And finally, deletion, which in Microsoft Entra is a soft delete. You browse to the user and click Delete User. The account disappears from the All Users page, but it sits on a page called Deleted Users for 30 days, and during that window it can be restored. Two facts to memorize together: 30 days to restore, and any licenses the user consumed are freed immediately at deletion, available for someone else. So if you restore a user, check their licensing afterward. It may need to be reassigned. Quick mental exercise. You deleted an account by mistake yesterday. Can you fix it? Yes. Go to Deleted Users, select the account, restore. You had 30 days. And what happened to the licenses? Released at deletion. So verify and reassign them after the restore. Let's recap the essentials. Users fit a 2x2 matrix, internal or external for where credentials live, member or guest for privilege level. You create users under Entra ID, Users, New User, Filling Basics, Properties, Assignments, The creation flow caps you at 20 groups or roles, and one administrative unit, flow limits, not platform limits. Least privilege, user administrator creates, guest inviter invites, privileged role administrator assigns roles, and privileged authentication administrator is the only one who can delete any administrator. Display name is the preferred name, never an alternative name. Synced users are edited on-premises. And deletion is soft, 30 days on the deleted users page, licenses freed immediately. Next time, one user at a time does not scale. We move to groups. Security groups versus Microsoft 365 groups, assigned versus dynamic membership, and the surprising limits of group nesting, including a trap that catches almost everyone. See you in episode 3.